Morning, everyone. Today's Daf Ksivas is Daf Mem Gimel. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship. Daf as long as Deichan Nishmas, Liba Gabriela Bar Shmuel. We're on Mem Beis Amud Aleph. And we're right at the bottom of the Amud. We're starting with the words Eisvei. So we're in the middle of a conversation between Rabbi and Abaye. So let's set ourselves up. Let's contextualize and let's continue where we left off yesterday. The Mishnah, where we started the new Perek, isn't really a change of topic, meaning the third parak of the Masechta was a basic discussion. It's the source in the Gemara that discusses Onus and Mafata, the relationship and the crime of both rape and seduction. And we spent an entire parak dealing with the matter, and we learned in the course of this parak some of the more larger issues in halacha, kimle b'derabim minei, in some very basic halachas. And as we turn to the next parak, so the beginning of this fourth parak is really more of the same. Although yesterday we also learned a very big idea in the world of kenosis, and that's the following: a kenos is a penalty that's levied by Beis Din. It's not a receivable until Beis Din says that you're obligated to pay. Meaning, even though the crime was committed historically, but never, and obviously you're going to take him to court, and the court's going to award you the money. But when it comes to a kenos is not counted as a receivable until the court says so. Which means then that the person who was victimized, let's say he dies before they go to court, so it's not a collectible. Meaning that's not passed down to the next generation. It's not part of the Yerusha, and the estate can't demand, hey, look, your money. In other words, there's no money to talk about until the court says so. What we learned in our Mishnah, which we're going to come back to later on, so I'm going to plant the seed right now, is that Rabbi Shimon goes even one step further. Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah says that when it comes to a kenas, it is not considered a money until collection. Meaning, even after the court demanded that you pay the victim, Rabbi Shimon says it's not considered money until it's actually been collected. So that means that even according to Rabbi Shimon, even after the ruling, if let's say the injured party dies, so that doesn't go down to the next generation. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion in the Mishnah. We're going to come back to Rabbi Shimon's opinion later on this morning, as that in of itself needs an explanation. Okay, that was the big idea that we learned yesterday.
But if the korban dies, she's an ara, it goes to the father, so it shouldn't make a difference.
Again, what if she?
If she dies, it doesn't go to the next generation, but it goes to the father, because she's an ara.
If she dies, it goes to the father. Well, again, if she dies, it may not be collectible at all. Meaning, remember, she's the reason why it's being collected. We talked about that in the previous part. If she dies, there may not be a case altogether if she dies. But the Mishnah was discussing a scenario where the father died. The meaning of the father died, and if the father died before it was actually collected, according to Rabbi Shimon, it simply didn't belong to the father. Meaning, let me assist you in your question. Meaning, maybe if the father died but she's still an ara, can she then collect it? The answer is yes, she can collect it. But if the father, but the point the Mishnah is making is that it's not money until either Hamad de Bedin, which is the Tanakhama's opinion, or Rabbi Shimon goes even one step further, until actual collection. Okay, all this brings us to yes. Wait, just one second. All this brings us to this week's parsha. This week's parsha is Vayikra, and we went over this yesterday, but let's go over this again. And that is the very last section of this week's parsha deals with what's called the Nashim Gezela. You stole an item. Now, stealing an item doesn't mean that you had to have taken it. Stealing an item meaning that, let's say, somebody gave it to you as a pikadon. And then, at a later point in time, you just simply say, I know what you're talking about. A total denial that you have the item anymore. And there's no witnesses, and there's no corroboration, and all you have is he said, right? Two claims, a claim and a counterclaim. And he says, no, I know you have my item. Would you swear? And he says, of course I'll swear. I don't have your item. And he goes to court and he swears in front of Beis Din that he doesn't have the item. And then the sleepless nights was getting to him. And finally he comes clean and he says, you know what? I took the item. You're right. I had it the whole time. And I swore falsely. So the Torah says, under those circumstances, so how do you do tshuva? Three things. One, you return the item that you took. two, and another 25% on it. Right? It was called chomish. I know chomish is a fifth. It's 20%, but it's milavar. It goes from the outside, so it's 25%. If you didn't understand that, that's fine. On another occasion, I'll explain. But and then finally, number three, you bring a carbon, which is why it's in this week's parsha. And you bring a carbon, and the carbon that you bring is a carbon asham. Okay, those are the three things that you need to do under those circumstances. The basic rule is, as we saw yesterday, but we're going to reiterate today, the basic rule is that these consequences of restitution and chomesh and karban is only if the claim and counterclaim was on a monetary issue. It has to be something monetary. All the examples that are given, you look at the end of this week's parsha, all the examples that are given in the Torah, I have the chomesh open to the right spot, is all about money. Just to go through some of the psukim. This is Parakei, Pasuk of Gimel. Vaya ki yechita v'ashem v'ashivetz ekzela shagazal. You return the lost item, osa oshak asher ashako, osa pikadna asher avkad, ito, osa aveda asher matzah. All the examples that are given are basic monetary issues. So in other words, the only way that you're going to be liable is if it's money. What if the claim was over kenas? Good. That's the right question to ask. Let's discuss it right now. So let's start off with the following. Baminei Abai Merab, I know we did this yesterday. I'm right in the middle of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, but this is really the starting point of the whole discussion. And this whole discussion is going to go into today's daf. So it's not good that we're behind, but it's good in the sense that we're going to see the entire sugya from the very beginning to the end. Baminei Abai Merabba. So Abai asked the following question from Rabba. Remember, Abai was a Talmud of Rabba, right? And I pointed out yesterday, oddly enough, Rashi reminds us over here. Abai is a Talmud of Rabba, right? Just in case we forgot. But, okay. Let's say the claim goes like this, right? You raped my daughter, and we went to court. And the court awarded v'nes chayv to limamon. And the court awarded me. So in other words, in the claim is the following. The claim is really rooted in the idea that there's a kenas. Now mind you, by the way, and later this morning we're going to point this out as well. Ones isn't just kenas. Meaning when there is a case of ones, there's kenas and there's mamon. Right? There are two things that go side by side. The kenas is a 50 shkalim, but of course there's also mamon. There's nezek, tsar, boshes. So so it's obviously knas and mamon, but right now, just to keep it simple, I'm going to call it knas, and later on we'll discuss what happened to the monetary claim. So here we go. The claim was, you ate my daughter, and we went to court, and the court awarded me the money. And what does he do? He denies everything. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, and v'nishba. And on the counterclaim, the defendant says, and I'm telling you, I don't know what you're talking about, and I'll swear, and he does. And then afterwards, he admits. So now the question over here goes like this. Look, they're obviously debating a kenas, and as we pointed out, in order to get to the threshold of having to get to the parsha at the end of this week's parsha, so it has to be money. But can't you argue that this is money? Because remember, what's the claim? The claim is that you owe me kenas, and we went to court, and the court awarded me the money. So now we're talking about where the claim was, the court awarded me the money. Can we call that money now? So Rabbi Shimon, my. So according to Rabbi Shimon, what would he say? So the Gemara says, "Kevin dama b'dima mona havai on one." I'm sorry, umechayev alai karmen shvua. On one hand, the claim was we went to court, and the court awarded me the money. So can we call it money now? Oh, dima avagav dama b'din kenas havai. Or maybe on the other hand, it's really still fundamentally a kenas. Meaning it's true that the claim was we went to court. But what we're really, the root issue over here is it's a kenas. And so maybe it just doesn't enter into the parsha of Asham Gzela. Amalei mamona have mechayv ala karben shvua. So, good question. And Rabbah gives a very straight answer. And the answer is Asham Gzela. It's money. Meaning because they're not just debating a kenas, the claim was we went to court and the court awarded me the money. After the court awards money, it's money. And so, and it's therefore money, and therefore if he swore falsely and then he later admitted it, Asham Gzela. Okay, that's the question, that's the answer. No, they went. In other words, the claim was we went to court, and the court found us.
And he comes and admits that at that time there's no admission after conviction.
There's no. Oh, no, no, you can't. No, you can't admit after you were convicted.
Basically, there is
it's
no,
money. That's exactly the point.
So the point I think is that there's no khatat, Hashem khatat for after conviction.
No, but here, what happened was is that he then compounded the problem by denying it afterwards.
After the conviction,
he then denied it.
How could he deny it?
Yeah, I understand what. I do understand, by the way. I wasn't going to make an issue of this, but why don't they just go back to the court? That you know that
yes.
Right? Correct.
It's
correct. It's but I guess they went to a right. I guess they went to a different location, and the court. Okay.
I think that's the most point is that you cannot have a
chatat. I understand, but
chatat for kness doesn't exist.
No, but okay. Look, I am presenting the Gemara the simplest way imaginable, but I do understand that it's just strange that they're having such a debate after having already gone to court, or at least he claims they went to court.
Was he forced to swear somehow, or was he voluntarily swore?
Right.
He admitted that caused him to be.
Generally speaking, a full denial of the Minatorah doesn't demand a shvuah. Generally speaking, so how do you swear? Because he felt like the only way I'm going to get him off my back is I'm going to make a shvuah. So yeah, so you're right. He volunteered a shvuah. Okay, Eisve. So to which now the Gemara asks the following question. Okay, so remember in the sequence of this discussion right now, we have a question that was posed from Abai to Rabbah. The question was: it was a claim counterclaim on Kenas, but included in the claim is that we went to Beis Din and Beis Din awarded me the money. So does that Kenas now basically turn into money? And Rabbah's answer is yes, it does. Meaning, after if we're saying that we went to court, or not we, if the claimant is saying that we went to court and the court awarded me the money, so it's money. It's no longer kenas. To which now the Gemara is going to challenge based on a brisa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yachol Amar Lachaver Nafti Patiti Biti Vuhu Amar Lo Nafti Vlo Patiti. So here we go. Claim counter claim. Let's say the claim was you raped my daughter, and he says no, I didn't. Hey, Mishur Chazavdi Vuhu Amar Lo Hamis, your ox killed my slave. Remember, we discussed this. That's also kenas of 30 shkalim, and the counterclaim is no. I know what you're talking about. Let's say your slave comes over to you and says, you know, you knocked out my eye or you knocked out my tooth. We know the halacha is, even though he's your property, he goes free. Him going free is a kenas. Because, think about it. Right, it's your property. You damaged your own property. So, okay. I know we're talking about a human being. I'm not trying to be insensitive. But the halach is he's your property. And so according to the without the Torah, I would have said okay, you damage your property. But the Torah says that's how you treat your slave. That you're abusive to your slave, so he goes free. That's a kenas. So the Gemara says v'hor ma'lo hi palti v'losi miti. And his counterclaim is I know what you're talking about. You're asking another question. Just give me a moment. Nishba v'hoda, and he made a shvua, and he admitted yachol yehi chayav. So now, here we go. If the claim and counterclaim is all about kenas. Every example that we gave, three different examples. They were all around kenas. So I might have thought you'd be chayav tamalomer v'kichesh ba'amito b'pikadam b'tzumas yad o begezel o shakas emito o matzav aveda v'kichesh ba v'nishba al sheker. So the Rabbi Shimon of this Brisa says, look at the examples that are given in the Torah. When are you required to give an Hashem Gzela? Only when the claim and counterclaim is on money. All these examples are money. And over here, it's of course the Gemara is not condoning. It goes without saying, but I'll say it. Of course the Gemara is not condoning. But you're not going to bring an Hashem Gzela because it's just simply the rules of Hashem Gzela are that the claim and counterclaim have to be over money. The false oath has to be over money. And this is kenas. This is not money. It's a different category. Yatzu'e l'shein kenas. Okay, now. Eddie, the Gemara asked you a question. Men beis amad beis, top of the amad. Ma'ilav v'shamad bedin. Now, what included in this claim? Did we go to Beis Din or did we not go to Beis Din? Meaning, what happened over here?
That's a big thing.
So, of course, it's a big thing. So, my love is Shama Bedin, love is Shalom Bedin. So the Gemara says, okay. So he says, no. The Bryce is not talking about when they went to court because, again, according to Rabbah, once you go to court, so the court turns it from a kenas into mammon. So now what Rabbah's arguing is that Bryce is not talking about where we went to court. The claim was included in the claim was not that we went to court. So the Gemara says, wait a second. So Abayi says back to Rava, but wait a second. Let's take a look at the Braisa in its entirety. And so now we're going to look at the first half of the Braisa. Now it's a little bit choppy because the way the Gemara is presenting it to us is that first we saw the second half of the Braisa, which is Rabbi Shimon's opinion. And now we're going to go and look at the first half of the Braisa. And now, you know how it works. Every time we have an entire Braisa, beginning and end, so it is one case. So we're going to look at the first half of the Braisa, we're going to analyze what it's talking about, and therefore we're going to conclude what the second half of the Braisa is talking about. So let's see the first half. I only know things where you pay principal. Principal meaning monetary payment. However, what if it's kefal? What if it's kefal for the thief? What if it's 4 or 5? For the thief who not only steals, but also shechs or sells. Ha'onis v'amefate, motzi shemra, rape, seduction, defamation, minayin. How do I know that all these cases are also included in what? In the Karban Hashem Gzela, Tamalomer Umal Ma'al. The Torah says he did something which was not just treacherous, but really treacherous. So Reba, the double language includes these cases as well.
These are
Knas. And these are all Knas. Mm-hmm. So Hechidami. So the Gemara says, now wait a second, what's going on over here? Idolo Amabedin. So the Gemara says, if there was no Hamad Abedin, if we didn't go to court, Kfela Meika. There's no Kefal. Meaning, we're not even talking about Kefal if we don't go to court. The only way that there's kefal is that, again, you were caught with the stolen item, two witnesses take you to court, and the court says, you stole the item, you didn't admit on your own, so you have to pay kefal. The only reason why there is kefal is because we went to court. So it's obviously after Hamad Abedin. So, Kfela Meika, Elapshita B'Sham Abedin. So now we know that the first half of the Bryce is talking about where there was already Hamad Abedin. And now here comes the question. And now that the first half is talking about Hamad Abedin, the second half is also talking about Hamad Abedin. And now we have the two halves of the Braisa. And so what happened to Rabba now? Rabba's in a pickle. Because Rabba says, well, the second half of the Braisa was talking about where there was no Hamad Abedin. But now that we know the entire Braisa from beginning to end, so it's one case, and the case is where there was Hamad Abedin. So what's Rabbi going to do? So Amar Leis, so Rabbi says to us by as follows. Yachim l'shnu lach reisha b'sham abedin v'sefa b'shlo am abedin. V'kul Rabbi Shimon hi. So Rabbi says to Abaye, look, I know what my options are. I can tell you that the entire Braisa is going like Rabbi Shimon, and I could try then to tell you that the first half is talking about where there was Hamad Abedin, the second half where there was no Hamad Abedin. But I know that's a difficult answer. Rabbi's like talking, he's like thinking out loud. It's like, I know that's a difficult answer. Because to say that the entire Braisa is going like Rabbi Shimon, so either you put Rabbi Shimon at the very front of the Braisa, or you put Rabbi Shimon at the very end of the Braisa, and that means that everything in that paragraph is Rabbi Shimon. But that's not how it works. In fact, if you look back, you turn back to the previous page, and you see, how does the second half of the Braisa open up? Rabbi Shimon Omer. Meaning that cuts the Braisa right in half. Up until that point in time, it wasn't Rabbi Shimon. It was the Tana Kama. And from that point going forward, it's Rabbi Shimon. So clearly the Braisa is not cool of Rabbi Shimon. Clearly. So and Rabbi says, and I know that. And so therefore, I won't try that answer on you. So it's what he refers to as a shnuya dechike, the forced answer.
Why is it
a
forced answer?
It's
a good answer.
No, because
the first half, there's no Rabbi Shimon, the second half is Rabbi Shimon, so clearly there are two different ideas.
But wait one second. Well, hold on. So the imkein amartli, listen reisha Rabbi Shimon omer, or listen sefer divrei Rabbi Shimon. Ela kulam b'sham abedin. So the Gemara says like this. Okay, so the entire Bryce is talking about where there was Hamad Abedin. The Reisha Rabbanu B'Sefer Rabbi Shimon. And the first half of the Bryce is the Chachamim, meaning the Tana Kama. And the second half is Rabbi Shimon. O Modina Lecha Le'inyan Karban Shvua Derachman Apatre. And look, Rabbi Shimon will say the following to you. You know, after court awards you a Knas, it's money. Okay, I'll start from there. It's really money. Meaning, and Rabbi Shimon would agree to that as well. It's really money. And that means that if you die, it's transferable. It's a receivable, and it's transferable to the next generation. But we're talking about Ashem Gzela. And maybe for Ashem Gzela, it's a different threshold. And the Gemara goes on to say, V'rachmana patre mi v'kichesh. V'chika min amamon have l'arisha levanav. Look, here's how we'll say it. Rabbi Shimon really fundamentally thinks that once the court awards you kenas, it's money. Rabbi Shimon would agree. It just happens to be that we're talking about Ashem Gzela. When do you trip the wire on Ashem Gzela? Only when it's fundamentally money. Meaning, it's true that kenas, that what court awards you, is also money. And that's true regarding all other halachas that have to do with money. Notably, passing it on to the next generation. It's a receivable. But but to be obligated in Ashem Gzela, there it has to be from the very inception money. And if it's not, so then you don't bring a carbon Ashem Gzela. This is Rabbah's response to Abaye. This is his answer to Abaye. Eisvei, the Gemara even continues to challenge this proposal. Eisvei, the Gemara challenges Rabbi Shimon Omeim Lo Yispika Lagaba Sachem Eisav Harei Hein Shel Atzma. Okay, and the challenge goes like this. What did we learn back in the Mishnah? We learned in the Mishnah that if, let's say, collection, remember, now we're going all the way back to the Mishnah. And the truth of the matter is, this is the entire reason why this whole discussion comes up now, is because of what we learned together in the Mishnah. What did we learn together in the first Mishnah, the fourth parak? That according to Rabbi Shimon, when does the kenas turn into money? Only after collection. We've been saying now for the last, since the beginning of today's daf. So right, since I opened my mouth today, right? We've been saying that that according to Rabbi Shimon, it turns into money after Hamad Abedin. But if you look at the Mishnah says, when does it turn into money? Only after collection. In fact, the Mishnah says, if the father dies before collection, who's the owner of that kenas? The daughter's the owner of that kenas. Why should that be? If Hamad Abedin creates a conversion from a kenas to a mammon, so she shouldn't be awarded with the money. It should be his heirs who should be getting the money. V'i amart mamon have la'risha lavanav. Now, if you insist, meaning again, this is all on Rabbah. If you, Rabbah, insist that after Hamad Abedin, it's money and it's transferable to your children, so then la'atzma. How do you understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah says it goes to her. Amai de'achin by mahave. It should go to the brothers, meaning it should be part of the inheritance, part of the estate. That's a really powerful question. How powerful a question is this? Amarava, Haimil Sakashe by Rabba Rav Yosef Esrim Vitartin Shnin. So 22 years to bother them. Not the only time in Shas that we have a 22-year-old question. There are a couple of 22-year-old questions. Okay, this being one of them. Velo Ifrik Ad Yosef Rav Yosef Beresha, and the answer was only given 22 years later. Makes me feel better. Eddie sometimes he asks me a question, I don't know the answer. Okay, I have 22 years. Okay, God willing, Eddie, you and I are going to be spending a long time learning Torah together.
What did they do during these 22 years?
They're good. I know. I understand the question, but certain things just took time. Now I'll give you some more information, some really good information. Rashi says the following. Rashi says 22 years. What's significant about 22 years? Rashi writes the following. Hey, now you yemeshar shiras or shalraba. I'm reading Rashi. Rashi says that these 22 years where Rabbah serves as the Rosh Yeshiva, meaning we know that Rabbah was ahead. He was ahead of the yeshiva and umes. And then when Rabbah dies, so who takes over after Rabbah? So Rashi points out it's Rav Yosef Barosh. So Rav Yosef now takes over as the head. Now, it's always, this is Rabbah with a hey.
What about Rabbah and Abaye?
In other words, after Rabbah's death, Rav Yosef was his peer, was his colleague. Rav Yosef takes over. And then I guess, subsequent to that, I guess Rav and Abaye after that. But it's always very difficult to fill people's shoes, especially if they're very big shoes to fill. Okay, once or twice in our life we experienced that. It's very difficult. And Rashi points out, it was very difficult for Rav Yosef to fill Rabbah's shoes. We know Rashi quotes the Gemara in Brachas. I mean, let's keep reading in Rashi. It's a fascinating Rashi. V'siyu min hashamayim leparka, liyos lo l'shem. And what happens is as follows. Rav Yosef now is taking over for Rabbah. Rabba was a tremendous Rosh Yeshiva. He had a tremendous mind. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was, he kind of gave Rav Yosef like a little bit of assistance, a little help. Because now Rav Yosef is becoming the Rosh Yeshiva, and it was just very hard for him to fill in the spot of Rabba. So a 22-year-old question, meaning imagine, being the Rosh Yeshiva and answering a 22-year-old question. So Rashi says that Rav Yosef got siyata d'shmaya, got divine assistance to answer the question and basically give him a name. I mean, Rashi says, liyos l'shem, to give him a name. L'fishaya Rabba Charif, because Rabba was very sharp. Remember, the Gemara says in Brachos that Rabba was given the description of Oka Harim. He could literally uproot mountains. Now, of course, that doesn't mean literally. It means that he was unbelievably insightful. So you came at him with an argument, so he would destroy your argument. And Rav Yosef, Avei Baal Shmuos, Umishno Braisa. Rav Yosef, what was he good at? So he was good at collecting Mishnayos, collecting Braisos, meaning he had tremendous Bikiyas. Like, he knew a lot. But he didn't have that kind of powerful insight that Rabba had. So Rashi basically says, so think about it. So now Rav Yosef is going to take over. He doesn't have the insight that Rabba has. He's not the Rosh Yeshiva that Rabba was. So it's very hard. So what Rashi says is that after 22 years, he answers the question that was lingering for 22 years, it gave Rav Yosef the confidence, it helped him out in terms of becoming the next Rosh Yeshiva. Okay, that's, if that's, you know, that in of itself was worth it to come for today's daf. Anyway, let's see, let me stay on task. So let's get to the answer. Good, so it's 22 years now in the making, so let's get to the answer. So remember, let's set the question up again. I know I got, Rashi's very interesting, but let's set the question up again, and let's give the answer. Question. Rabba's maintaining that even according to Rabbi Shimon, when you go to court and court awards you the kenas turns into money. Okay? In terms of Hashem Gzela, it's not considered money, but that's because we have a special pasuk in Chumash, Vikichesh. But generally speaking, though, you go to court, even according to Rabbi Shimon, it's now money. And it's collectible. Not only is it collectible from the victim, obviously, but if he dies, then it's part of the estate, and it's an account receivable, like any other account receivable. It's money after the court awards it. Question. How do you understand Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah says, when is kenasa money? Only after collection. Meaning even before collection, even after Hamada Bedin, it's not yet money. In fact, Rabbi Shimon and our Mishnah said that if the father dies before collection, so then who is the recipient of this kenas? The daughter is. What do you mean? If it's after the court issued a ruling, after that, it's money. So what's going on? That's a 22-year-old question. Let's give the answer. I'm sorry. So, when 22 years this question was asked, Velo Ifrik was an answer. Adi Yosef Rav Yosef Reisha Upirko. Rav Yosef becomes the Rosh Yeshiva and he answers, Shani Hasam Damakrov, Venasan Neisha, Shochevi Ma, Le Avianara Chamishim Kesef. Quotes the Pasuk. But what new insight do we get from the Pasuk? Lo Zichsa Tor La'av Ela Mishas Nesina. What Rav Yosef's powerful insight is the first word in the pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Vinasan, meaning that the father only rightfully can claim the money only after it was given to him. Meaning that this kenas is different than all other kenasos. Right? To quote a line that we're going to say in a couple weeks from now, Manishtana haknas hazeh mikol haknasos. How is this kenas different than all others? It is unique, based on the way that the Torah formulates this kenas. The Torah says, vinasan, which means that only from the time that it was actually transferred and given over to him, then and only then it's money. But when it comes to all other kenasos, that's not true. The based on awarding converts it from a punitive fine into a monetary claim. And when Rabba was saying that all other kenasos turn into money, Bishar kenasos, that's talking about all other kenasos. Okay, that's the answer. The answer is that the kenas of Ones is fundamentally different. And right now, I mean, the only thing I can tell you is because the Gemara just said it, is because the Torah says so. Okay, why should it be? Meaning, can I dig deeper into why that should be? I'm sure I could. I don't have anything else to give you other than the fact that the Torah says it's different.
So only in that case it becomes money after collection. All others...
Correct. Agreed. Right?
For all others, there's no Hashem. For this one, there might be Hashem.
No, and then even... Right, in other words, and let's not confuse, meaning... Right. meaning even for all other kenasos, meaning it's money regarding all other halachos, Asham Gzela has a different threshold. And the reason why Asham Gzela has a different threshold is because of the pasuk, the kichesh. And the Torah goes on to describe examples that are fundamentally money. Okay, so in other words, for the Asham Gzela, it's a different threshold.
For all others, confession after conviction, There's nothing.
Great.
But for this, there might be, because between conviction and collection, there is a chance that he could deny.
Great.
And he confesses and he gets the Asham.
Right.
And it's being Asham.
But only when it's something which is fundamentally money. But if it's not something which is fundamentally money, so then no, he doesn't bring an Ashim Gzela. Okay, now, so the Gemara says, so you're telling me now, this answer that Rav Yosef is providing is because the Torah says Vinasan. Gemara says, okay, but I'll show you one other Knas where we have the verb Yitain. And that's the 30 shkalim. My ox kills somebody else's Eved Kanani. I'm on the hook now for 30 shkalim. That's a Knas. And to which the Gemara says, if you look at the pasuk over there, you see the word yitain. Kesef shloshim shkalim yitain ladonav. Hachinam elo zichza Torah la'achin ala mishas nesina. So the Gemara says, so why not use your answer there as well? So yitain l'chud v'nasan l'chud. So the Gemara says, even grammatically, there's a difference between the word yitain versus v'nasan. What does a v'nasan mean? V'nasan means any gave. Meaning, it is only money, only after the giving has occurred. Yitain means, yitain is just simply an imperative. You got to give. But that doesn't, in other words, but it's money after the court awards it. The uniqueness about the kanas of ones is that the Torah uses it vinasan, and he gave, meaning that it's only considered money only after the collection.
That's
it. To which the Gemara says, okay, so here's the part now that I'm a little bit confused by, and that's the following. So what are you telling me? That the kenas of ones is fundamentally different. So why did the Braisa end off with the word v'kichesh? Meaning that when they're having a dispute over kenas, and he swears falsely, so he's exempt from the Hashem Gzela. Why? Because, and the Bryce ends off with the words v'kichesh. What do you mean v'kichesh? V'kichesh is a pasuk that's used by Hashem Gzela. So what does that mean? In other words, it's not v'kichesh. It's v'nasan. So Amar Rav Kitzurch v'kichesh k'gon sham da bedenu bagro meisa da hasam ki kayaris aviyam inay dida kayaris. So the Gemara says no. Even in the world of ones, sometimes this is good. This part's going to be a little bit tricky. Even in the world of ones, sometimes it's going to behave like a regular kenas. Gemara says, I'll give you an example. Meaning, like, it's going to be like all other kenasos. An example. So the Gemara says, let's say we have the following scenario. Let's say there was Hamada Bedin. They went to court. And let's say she becomes a Bogeris. Now, what do we know? We know that if she becomes a Bogeris, who becomes the recipient of the kenas?
She does.
Okay? Because we know that the father is only awarded the kenas only if he collects it when she's a nara. Because earnings and income of a nara go to the father. But if she becomes a begeris, she becomes now not only the reason why the kenas is going to get paid, she's the address. She becomes the recipient of the kenas. Okay? And let's say now, after she becomes a begeris, she dies. Now, ultimately, who's going to be receiving the kenas? Dad.
The father died already or no?
No, he's still alive. So he's a, so now, she becomes a Bogeris, she then dies, so now the kenas is going to go to the father. But the kenas is going to the father, not as a result of the pasuk of a nasan la'aviya na'ara, the kenas is going to go to the father because she was awarded the kenas, meaning Basin awarded her the kenas. She died, but now it's going to the father as a regular kenas. So even in the world of ones, it's possible, unlikely, but it's possible that even there the dad is receiving it as a, not a special kenas of ones, but quote-unquote a regular kenas. So ki kayaris avia, when the father inherits it, mi nadi da kayaris. He's inheriting it through her. Correct. And it's a now what works as a regular kenas. Ihachi yatsu elishin kenas mamanu. So the So to which the Gemara says, okay, so just one more loose end to tie up. That's not true. There's going to be more. But right now, another loose end to tie up. So why does Rabbi Shimon say at the very end of the Braisa, you know, these are different because they're kenas? It's not really true. Meaning, it's after Hamad Abedin. After Hamad Abedin, what do we say? What are we saying? After Hamad Abedin, it's money. So why do we keep calling it kenas? Amar Rav Nachman, by Yitzhak, Yatsu Elisha Ikaran kenas. So the Gemara says, of course, after Hamad Abedin, it's money. And again, it's now becomes a it becomes an account receivable. It's a transferable asset. It can the children can, if he dies, the children have every right to claim it as well. It keeps calling it kenas because it's rooted. Its roots of this obligation is a kenas. And again, in the world of Hashem Gzela, you don't bring a carbon Hashem Gzela, according to Rabbi Shimon, for something that is rooted in a kenas. Okay, let's go on. So the Gemara quotes another brisa. Rabbi Shimon says that you're going to be exempt because you don't pay kenas based on your own admission. So how do you understand this brisa? This brisa makes it sound like, do you know why you're exempt? Because you don't pay kenas based on your own admission. According to Rabbi Shimon, that has nothing to do with it. You don't pay kenas. It's true you don't pay kenas on your own admission. But that's not the issue over here. Even if Beis Din awarded you to pay the kenas, according to Rabbi Shimon, you simply don't bring an Asham Gzela on something which is fundamentally a kenas. So the Gemara says on this last brisa, we'll say the following. Rabbi Shimon, Divrem Darabban Kamar Lahu. Rabbi Shimon was not addressing his own opinion. Rabbi Shimon was addressing the Chachamim. Look, Lididi, Afagav Dama B'din Rachman Apatre Mivikichesh. Look, Rabbi Shimon says, you want my opinion? Even if you don't want it. Here it is. My opinion is that this special halach of Hashem Gzela is only for something which is fundamentally money. If something is fundamentally kenas, even after we go to court, and even after a Beis Din awards you the money, and I know regarding all other areas of halach, it's money. But for the Hashem Gzela, it has to be something which is fundamentally money. And again, Rabbi Shimon says, look at the Pesukim. Look at all the examples that are given. Okay, so I don't even, to me, the discussion doesn't even get off the ground. But Liditchu, but the Rabbi Shimon says to the Chachamim, but let's think about your opinion. Odeli Mihas, you got to give me the following. Hecha de lo am abidin, dechi katava, kenasa katava, umode be kenas pater. But listen, give me this. Meaning if it's before Hamad Abedin, before court awards the money, kenas is something that it's not real. When I say it's not real, meaning it hasn't materialized yet. And not only that, but all you need on the part of the perpetrator is him to admit that he owes it. And once he makes that admission, it goes away. So you can't, meaning this is Rabbi Shimon talking to the Chachamim, you can't really think that a kenas pre-Hamad Abedin, you can't really think that you're going to be chayv an Hashem Gzela, Rabbi Shimon says to the Chachamim. So, v'rabbanan tzavi, ki katava, boshes b'gam katava. And the Chachamim are going to respond with the following. No, we disagree. And why do we disagree? No, but this is an important point. I mean, obviously. But we disagree, but here's why we disagree. Because when the claim was, right, let's go all the way back to the beginning of today's daf. When the claim was, you rape my daughter. Including that claim, as we said in the beginning of this morning, but now we're really gonna speak it out. Are two things. Number one, there's a kenas. In other words, the Torah awards a kenas to the victim, and there's also money. It's an assault. It's a chavala. There is boshes, pegam, tsar. So really, in this claim of you rape my daughter is kenas and mamon. What the Chachamim say to Rabbi Shimon is, you know why we disagree with you? Because when the claim was made, you rape my daughter, what was the focus on? Was the focus on the kenas or was it on the mamon? What the Chachamim are saying to Rabbi Shimon is, the focus was on the mamon. And that's why, if this was a claim and that was a counterclaim, claim was you raped my daughter, counterclaim was, I don't know what you're talking about, and he swore that he didn't, and then he admitted it, do you know why he brings an Hashem Gzela? Because really was the focus was on the money. That's why he brings an Hashem Gzela. That's what the Chachamim say to Rabbi Shimon. And now, obviously, we're going to have to go to the other. Now, go back to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, what do you think? Let's see inside in the Gemara. And now the Gemara spells it out. We're on the top of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. What's the root of the argument? Amar Papa, Rabbi Shimon, Savalo Shavikinish, me did the kids, Vitava me did the low kids. Think about it. It's a great conceptual discussion Gemara is having over here. You have two claims against the person. Let's think about it. One is Boshet Pagam. That's not a fixed number. It's going to be based on what the court feels is appropriate. On the other hand, you have the Knas. That's a fixed number. So, when you're taking a person to court, and there are two concurrent claims, one's a Knas and one's on the money, what is your main focus? Are you focusing on something which is fixed, or on something which is not fixed, a variable? So, the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Shimon, you want to focus on the fixed number, because the fixed number is a known entity. Now, V'Rabbanan Savar, now the Chachamim's, what's their counter-argument? Counter-argument goes like this. Lo Shavikinish Mida Dechimo Debe Lo Mifter, V'Tava Mida Dechimo Debe Mifter. And the Chachamim say, I disagree with you. The focus of the claimant is really on the variable, not on the fixed. Why? Because at least the variable is compensatory, and it will always be there. As opposed to the fixed. What's the fixed? Knas. All you need from him is an admission, and it's gone. So, it's a great question. Meaning, when you're claiming against somebody, on one hand, the fixed has a strength in that it's a fixed number. On the other hand, it has a weakness, because he admits it, and it's gone. The variable has also got a strength and a weakness. The strength is, it will be there. The weakness is, I don't know what it is. So what are you focused on? That, Gemara says, is the machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. And that really explains, meaning not everything, obviously. There's still some basic issues that we needed to deal with. But that takes us all the way back to the beginning, and that now helps us understand what's that really the root of the machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Meaning when a person says to a man, you ate my daughter, and he says, no, I didn't. And he denies it, and he swears falsely. And then finally he admits it. So is this a monetary case or is this a kanas case? So what the Gemara is explaining is that's exactly what's at the root over here in terms of when the original claim was made. Were we focusing on the kanas or were we focusing on the money? It is interesting. Let's point out the following after all said and done. This is the end of the discussion of the Gemara. This is the conclusion. It is interesting. Well, it is the bottom line, meaning that's the Gemara says that's really at root of the machlokas. Well, hold on a second. I'll give a summary statement. What's interesting is the following. If you're making a claim against somebody and there are two claims, you can't think about both. Meaning it's the Gemara is very interesting. Gemara is saying, well, are you focusing on this or are you focusing on that? Meaning, I know we have a short attention span. I realize that. But, I mean, we're talking about money that's owed to you. Like, your mind can't really be on both. Meaning, when you say to somebody, "You ate my daughter," which again, put the drama aside, and let's just focus on the money. So, in other words, you can in your head hold two thoughts at one time: you owe the kanas and you owe the mammon. And the Gemara now is split. The Gemara is saying the entirety of the debate between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim is which aspect are we focusing on? It can't be both. Now, it's interesting, by the way. Meaning, I'm presenting it like a question. It's not a question. Meaning, the Gemara is assuming you can't. Meaning, obviously, both are owed to you. That's not even the issue. The issue is, when making the claim, what was your primary focus? Right. So, just as an interesting observation. Okay, now let's wrap it up. Let's tidy up this entire sugya. Right. So let's tidy up this entire sugya. So first of all, Rabba's ruling stands, and that is the following. After Hamada Bedin, in other words, once Basin awards you a kanas, it is now an account receivable. It is money, it's collectible, and not only is it collectible, it can be passed on to your children. You die, the estate gets to claim the kanas, because after Basin awards you the kanas, it's now an account receivable, it's totally collectible. Okay, that's Rabba's rule, and that rule stands. When we talk about the Asham Gzela, so here, things may be a little bit different. Why? So Rabbi Shimon says things will be different because of the because of the special pasuk in the Torah. Meaning Rabbi Shimon will argue that the Kichesh tells us that because of the special pasuk in the Torah, if you swear against owing a kenas, so then the Kichesh will tell you that you're not going to be chayav a kavar nashim zdeh. Where the Chachamim are going to be disagreeing, and why the Chachamim disagreeing? So what has now been informed to us, what has been revealed to us, is that the Chachamim disagree because incorporated in this claim was really two things, kenas and mamon, and what you were focusing on was the mamon and not the kenas. And therefore the Chachamim say that under those circumstances you would bring a carbon ashim gzela if this occurred. Usually machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon, the lachas like Chachamim. And one more point to go over in this, and with this we'll conclude. And that is, what about our Mishnah? Meaning, our Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Shimon, when it comes to kenas of ones, it is not a collectible until it's collected. Say it again. I know it's funny, but it's true. According to Rabbi Shimon, by ones, it's not a collectible until it's collected. And that means that the father, according to Rabbi Shimon, which, by the way, we don't pass like Rabbi Shimon, but just the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, that means that the father dies, so that means then that if the children don't inherit it, even after Amad Abedin, but rather goes to the daughter. And the question was, why? And this question, Rabbah struggled with for 22 years. When Rav Yosef assumed the Rosh Yeshiva, he gave the answer. And let's go over the answer one more time this morning. And that's because, according to Rabbi Shimon, the... We don't accept the halacha, but we accept the answer. The answer is a good answer, but we don't accept the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. But the answer is because the kenas of ones is fundamentally different based on the formulation of the Torah. Torah says vina san lavianara. That vina san is telling us that it's only collectible only after it's collected. Yeah, Eddie, that's an excellent question. I'm not telling you to wait 22 years, but that's a very good question. I don't have the answer.